Good morning, good morning. Well, today we're going to take a whole chapter. It's basically just a genealogy and a few little neat things to stick in there to talk about during it. But it's basically the genealogy from Adam until Noah. It's most of chapter 5, so I guess I'll do the whole chapter. It sounds like a lot of verses, but it really isn't. It's most of it's just names. And I kind of attached a meaning to each name just for curiosity's sake. It's a fairly simple lesson today. So start with prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for all that you do. And it's just so much enjoyable to study your word, Lord. And thank you so much. And help us to understand what we're reading. And we can bring much joy to knowing more about you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, let me get some verses in here. Where are the verses? They are. And I got some new neat graphics to deal with too. I found I could get an electronic version of this map thing that you can buy. It's like a placemat. Put on the floor and it's got the entire world history on it of the biblical times. I was able to get an electronic version that I can play with on the computer. So you're going to see it today. See, it's this here. It's if I were to shrink it out, that's what it looks like whole. And it's basically the whole world history going all the way around. So we can use this in our studies. And nice little graphic. And so, of course, right at the moment, we're right at the beginning. So back to where I was. So you can let me know if you can actually read that. If not, I can blow it up even more, but I won't get as much on the screen at one time. I guess we could do it this way, except I can't get the years in there. So you can let me know what you think. Okay. So let's start reading through this genealogy, and I'll add a few things in as we go along about it. Start here in verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam, and the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Well, Adam is the natural head of the race. He is number uno. We are all related to him, to think about that. The entire world goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Over in Luke 3:38, we got the contrasting type of Christ, whereas this is the genealogy of Christ here in chapter 3 of Luke. And I'll go back to the beginning just so you can see it. And remember when we were doing Luke, we did Luke. And it starts at verse 23. Let me just show you that. And it goes all the way down through his genealogy. So this is Jesus' genealogy. And it goes all the way to guess who? It goes all the way to Seth. And Seth, which of course goes to Adam, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. So it's a contrasting type of Christ. The head of the new creation is the Christ, where the head of the human race is Adam. So that's why they call Jesus Christ the last Adam. Is because he made it possible to correct the wrongs of the first Adam. Remember, Adam only means what it means is man. So, so some other verses that kind of adds to this over in Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. Paul, over again, 1 Corinthians 15:21-22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jumping down to verse 45-47. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is of the Lord from heaven. And so going on to verse 2 here in Genesis 5. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. It's the verse on here talking about being blessed. But also Mark 10:6. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Something that the society right now is having a little trouble understanding. I've never had a problem figuring it out. I pretty much know that I'm a guy, and I've had children, so I kind of know what a girl looks like. So I don't have much trouble, but it seems like people today seem to have a lot of trouble figuring out what's a male and what's a female. I had to laugh when that during that that Senate thing, that they asked that that one new judge, so how do you define a woman? And she said, I can't. I'm not a biologist. I thought, really? It doesn't take a degree in biology to figure that out. Okay, anyways, enough of that joke. But talking about being blessed over in Genesis 1:28, it's interesting that we're going to talk a little bit about being those who are blessed in this genealogy. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Well, there's going to be another person that gets this same commandment. After God destroys everybody, he gives the same commandment to Noah. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Okay, on to verse 3, Genesis. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So this is where we start our timeline. We got Adam and Eve. And so about 34 BC is when Seth was born. And Adam was about 130 years old. And you can see that Adam is going to live quite a while. He lives until he's 930 years old. This is how we get the timeline, so you can see where this timeline came from. It's going to say that when we get into verses here. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. So he lived another 800 years after Seth. Imagine how many kids you can have in 800 years. Because we know he already had two prior to this, or him and Eve. I should say Eve was the one that bore him. Then he had Seth, and then it says he had sons and daughters. I've been trying to wonder how many kids each one of these lines had. So I was kind of thinking that, we live to about 80 years old, let's say. And they live about 10 times as long as we did. So if we have children till we're in our, mid-30s, no more than 40, so that's about half of our life. And if they had children half their lives, that'd be 500 years. About 450, actually, for Adam and Eve. So how many kids could you have in 450 years? And let's say you had one on average. Well, we know in 130 years that Adam and Eve had three kids that we know of. So that's one about every 30 years or so, 40 years. They could have had a lot more. We don't know how long before they started having children either. Okay, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. That's an important term. Make note of that, and he died, because there's going to be somebody who doesn't die in this genealogy. We're going to get to him in a minute. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. So we can see that on our chart. Seth means foundation. So he's the foundation, I guess, of the family line of Jesus. Enos is called mortal man. That's what his name means. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. This is how they get the timeline, by the way, is they basically work their way back. They know when Abraham was born, about 2000 BC. So they're able to take that date and work it back with this genealogy, because we have such accurate data on it. And God did that on purpose, I'm sure. Verse 8, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Just think, in the Millennium Kingdom, even the mortals are going to start be able to live that long again. So we're going to see how many kids a family can have when we get to the Millennium Kingdom. Of course, we'll be in our glorified bodies. You know, we'll be just kind of enjoying the fruits of everyone else's children. Maybe we'll get to see them when they're born, and they get to hold them and bring back all the great memories of being parents ourselves. I was thinking about Robert and Brittany. And we're at church. So beautiful to see a brand new baby. There's something special, so special about a brand new baby. Verse 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Kenan. Kenan means possessor. That's what that name means. And Enos lived after he begot Kenan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Cana lived 70 years and begot Mahiel. And Mahiel means praise of God. That's a great name. And Cana lived after he begot Mahiel 840 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Cana were 910 years, and he died. Mahaliel lived 65 years and begot Jared. Jared is a decent person. And Mahaliel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. So you can see our chart here is coming down the line here. There's Mahaliel and Jared. It shows when in relationship to each person they're born. I want to kind of point some things out when I get here, get to the end of this. So that's why I wanted a chart like this. And all the days of Mahiel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 2 years and begot Enoch. Now Enoch means dedicated, and he's going to be a very, very special guy. He's going to be a symbolic to what's going to happen to us if the Lord comes before we die. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Notice all these have the same kind of ring to them. Well, it's going to change here shortly. Verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Methuselah means man of the dart. I wonder what that means. Interesting word. Now, here's something very, very special. Listen to this. And Enoch walked with God, and he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. That's important. He walked with God. Some other people walked with God, too, and we're gonna see them as we go through Genesis here. Let me point to a couple right now, though. Over in 6:9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. These are very special people. And we jump over to Genesis 17:1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me. So he's walking with God, and be thou perfect. Those are some of the patriarchs that walked with God. There are others, too, that as we go through history, there's definitely others, too. Daniel is another one that was well-favored by God. It's very similar. So Genesis 5:23, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Ah, he didn't die. That's interesting. Now, granted, he only lived 365 years, and God took him. And Some people might say, well, that doesn't mean anything. Okay, so he took him. It's similar to saying he died. And that's true. We've heard that before. You know, I think we've said before, when somebody goes to be with the Lord, someone has gone to be with the Lord, kind of similar. But we got some patterns to follow here, though. This is definitely the first rapture, and some verses I'm going to show you in Hebrews that verify this. But just to follow some patterns, over in 2 Kings 2:11, talking about raptures. And it's funny that, you know, people say that there was never any Old Testament raptures. Well, they didn't use that word. They used translated. But we're going to find out that Enoch was definitely raptured according to Hebrews, and I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. And we're also going to find out in 2 Kings that another man was taken without dying, and that was Elijah. That's in 2 Kings 2:11. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. There's a lot more of that story, but that's the basic, another rapture verse when Elijah was taken by God. And most prophecy people believe that that's one of the two witnesses in Revelation, is Elijah. He's going to come back. Some people like to say Enoch too, because he was taken, based on some of the powers that the two witnesses have. And we'll talk about this more as we go through some of these things. Because particularly when I get to chapter 6, I'm going to spend some time talking about these different patterns through the Bible of the whole tribulation scene as played out in patterns. We're going to do that when we get to the Noah's flood time frame. So I'm just kind of hitting the highlights right now. But also to verify that this was a rapture in Hebrews 11, 5 through 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. So there it is. He did not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Very important. And just one other place that Jesus promises us the same thing, and that's over in John. My two favorite rapture verses is in John and Thessalonians. John 14, 1 through 3. This is the upper room discourse, and I think it's the one of the times that Jesus actually gives a hint about the rapture. I always point out a couple of words in here because it shows the difference between this and the second coming. You're going to run into a lot of people that want to try to convince you that that there's no such thing as a rapture, or that the rapture is at the end of the tribulation. But I want to show you the differences, because people say that if this is a rapture, then that means Jesus is coming back twice, and he's not. He's not coming back. So I'm going to point that out. So John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That's where Jesus is now. He's left to go prepare a place for us. Right now, Jesus is talking to the 11 disciples. Judas has gone off to arrange for Jesus' arrest. So the only people in the room are the 11 disciples. And so the 11 disciples at this point, Jesus is going to be crucified the next day and raised from the dead. So these 11 disciples represent the church. They're the beginning of the church. We go into Acts. Okay, verse 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, just pay attention to those words. I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am. So where is he right now? He's in heaven. There you may be also. Jesus is not coming to the earth. He's coming into the clouds to receive us up into the clouds, and then he's going to take us to heaven. I think that's an important distinction, because on the second coming, he is going to set foot on the earth at the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split in two, and there's all kinds of different things that happen. So this is not that time. That's the second coming. This is not a coming. This is a retrieving us. And then the famous rapture verse in the 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 18. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Jesus is not coming to the planet. We are going to him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's so plain to me. I don't know how many people get this thing wrong. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And there's another pattern in Daniel, which I'll talk about when we get to chapter 6. I'll take all the different patterns of the rapture and tribulation period when we get to chapter 6. So I won't touch base on the Daniel one right now. If you were in my Daniel study, I went through it when we were back in chapter, was it 4 or 5? When we did the famous furnace thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the furnace. That's another pattern of the rapture and tribulation. So I'll go in more depth when we get into chapter 6. So continuing on, verse 25. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. Methuselah lived after he had begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. Okay, so we're still on our chart here. So there's Lamech there. And begot sons and daughters. Verse 27. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and our toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Noah, actually, I have been telling you what these names mean. Enoch means dedicated. Methuselah was man of dart. And I forgot what Noah meant. Oh, Lamech means powerful. And Noah means rest. And he called his name Noah and saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. So they were getting into this idea that God is not happy with what's going on in the world besides this line here that we've been following. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. Now we get into Noah. And Noah was 500 years old and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So let me show you. A very interesting thing about Noah is that he was over 500 years old before he had any kids. And so that happens over here, and we'll spin this thing around when we get into this area. When he starts making the ark and doing all that kind of stuff. And some things I wanted to point out, so I'm going to zoom out here a little bit so I can show you better. Let me get this map a little more situated the way I want it. Is that going to show me what I want? Yeah. Okay. So I want you, I've heard people often say, how can all this information that we have get to all the way to Moses. Moses was the one that wrote all this stuff down in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And, of course, God, through the Holy Spirit, helped him write it. But the other thing to realize is if you think about it, okay, Adam and Eve lived until 930 years old. Adam and Eve saw 8 of their descendants born and met them. And so Adam and Eve actually knew Lamech, who was the father of Noah. Okay, so I'm sure that there was plenty of time to tell stories that passed down from the creation and when Adam and Eve were naming the animals and all that kind of stuff. And Lamech probably heard all those stories. Because realize that, here's my other map, other thing that came with this. I got a nice, much nicer map for working with. So remember that Adam and Eve were in this general area, and except for Cain and him, it went off into the desert over here. They pretty much stayed all around here, because when we get to Abraham, Abraham was from the Ur of the Chaldeans, which is right in this general area where my hand is. I'll get some more towns and stuff in here when we get to that period of time. Actually, this thing's got some really cool tools to it. I think I can put that in now. Let me see. Yeah, there's Abraham. And so there's Ur of the Chaldeans. And when Abraham was called by God, he went up along here and he looked and he found all these different places. And you remember, he ended up in Egypt. We'll talk about that when we get into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so this is the period of time that we're heading towards. But first, we got the flood coming up next. And so back to my other thing here. So if you really think about it, Noah was probably pretty knowledgeable of everything that happened prior to him. And if you think about that and continuing this on, okay, when you get down to Noah, Noah lived all the way down to here, okay? And Noah, or at least Shem, and Noah's three sons knew Abraham, because they lived, assuming they lived as long as Shem did, okay? Well, you can see that Abraham was already born along with everyone else. So if you really think about it, that from Abraham to Adam was only like three sets of periods of time. I'm not going to say three generations because it was a lot more than three, but that that information that came from the all the way back to Adam probably made it all the way to Abraham fairly easily, because you only had Noah. Noah got it from his father Lamech, who got it from Adam and Eve themselves. So you got 1, 2, and then. Then his son, that's three, to Shem. And of course, they were working together the whole time on the ark and everything. And then down to Abraham. In between this time here, we got the whole, what do you call it? The Tower of Babel and the spreading out of Noah's three sons. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. What you see here is actually the descendants from the line that went to Jesus through Abraham. And there's Isaac and there's Jacob. So we'll get into all those. There's Joseph. And once we get to Joseph, Moses ain't far away. There's Moses right there. So the information, too, may have come down what they call by oral law. And that most of the things that happen in the Genesis period, were pretty easy to probably pass down pretty easily to all the way to Moses, who wrote it all down. So that was what I was trying to get point to. So I can definitely see that, besides the fact that the Holy Spirit is going to be leading him, there's a really good chance that he had firsthand knowledge of going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Just my speculation, but I think that. Oral law used to be the way things were remembered, even going all the way into when Jesus' time frame. That a lot of what, you know, they had a Bible, but a lot of it was also oral law. And so that people would actually pass things down, father to son, just like we do. You know, I'm sure that you remember things about your childhood that you pass on to your children. No different. Well, when you're Adam and Eve that lived almost 1,000 years, you got a lot of people to pass it down to. So that's what I had for today. And let's see, was there anything else I missed? I think that's about it for today. So let's end with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this, for the timing to help us see when creation was and to see this genealogy. Thank you, Lord, so much. I see so many exciting things in it. We look forward to learning even more as we progress through Genesis, the beginnings, and when you created us and created mankind. And thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to share in that when we in the future, as we rejoin you in heaven and reign and serve you. Looking forward to that day, Lord, so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And just think, we're going to meet Adam and Eve. Now, that's cool. Jesus is a given, but somebody once told me, he says, what are you going to do for eternity? You're going to get bored. I said, no, I won't. I said, just learning about all this history and meeting everybody. Think about how long it's going to take. I once figured it out. Think about how long it's going to take to meet everybody that's a Christian. Even if you only spent one day with each person, if there was like 9 billion people, I figured it out one time. I think it took something like 10,000 years to even meet each person once. And so and you can start all over again and see how the past 10,000 years was and start your cycle all over again. That's the way I put it to somebody. I says, it's going to be a great time of fellowship. And all the new people are going to be born during the millennium. I think there was somebody that figured that I just heard it recently. It was like 150 billion people, I think it was, on the planet around 1000 AD. No, 150 million people. And now we have almost 8 billion people. That's how much the world has grown in just 1,000 years. And so if you imagine that 1,000 years, you can just with a few people, you can actually increase the population many, many fold. We just rounded off the 200 million to 8 billion. That's 400 times the amount of people. 400 more than that. 4,000 times the amount of people. So depending on how many people make it through the tribulation, you can probably multiply that by at least 4,000 and see how many people we get within 1,000 years. And they're going to be all new, and there'll be no disease. There'll be no sin. And these people who had sin and all that stuff, there'll be no sin. People will be able to reproduce without pain. So I'm sure that the people are going to have lots of children. So a little more speculation on my part. But we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a good day. And look forward to seeing you at evening service tonight.